So that last line we just sang, God hears us when we call. My first question for you today is, when have you heard God say something to you, call something out to you? When was the last time God taught you something, even if it was small, or maybe it was a really big thing? When was the last time God laid something on your heart? And some of when you hear that, you might think, I don't even know what that means. So maybe that's never happened. Or some of you might think like, oh, God said so many powerful things to me, but they were all 20 years ago. Or maybe I was just praying with somebody that felt like God told them something just now, just this morning. And that's a really healthy place to be at with God. I know if I had to answer that question of when I really felt like God said something to my heart, it wouldn't have been today, but it would have been last Sunday. I got together with some friends after church. We had lunch, and then we spent some time praying together, and we actually worshiped together, which is not something maybe everybody does all the time, but the five of us put on some YouTube videos of like Christian music, and we worshiped God together. And then one of the guys had a question, something he wanted God's help on, and so we prayed about that question, and we read a little bit in the Bible, and we prayed some more. And as that all was going on, I was feeling very, very close to God. It's a great, if you don't have anything to do this afternoon, pick four friends to go do that. That was a great thing to do. But God laid something on my heart, told me something, it reminded me of a passage of Scripture. And I want to dive into that whole thing today with you guys, but it's going to require a little more from you. We're going to do a little bit deeper Bible study than we normally do. And are you guys up for that today? What do you guys say? Yep. How many of you guys? Yeah. Okay. You guys are up for it. Okay. So if you got a Bible, turn to John chapter 9. If you don't, we're going to have it on the screen. And so we're going to read an entire chapter of the Bible today, which seminary professor probably would tell me that's a bad idea, but I think that's what we should do this morning, so that's what we're going to do. Hopefully, God will speak to us through John chapter 9. So what we're going to do today is a little Bible study on this, and this is a model you could do on your own at your house. So when you're getting ready to read the Bible, the first thing you should do before you read is talk to the person that you want to meet with, okay? So you say, Jesus, I want you to teach me, okay? So I'm going to lead us in a prayer, but if I pray, that doesn't invite Jesus into Brian's heart. If I pray, it doesn't invite Jesus into Heather's heart, okay? If I pray, it doesn't invite Jesus into anybody's heart here in the room, okay? So you have to make that invitation to Jesus. So as I pray, I'm going to pray kind of slow so you can pray with me, okay? So you can pray to God and open up your own heart. So let's pray. Jesus, I'm here today to meet with you. Jesus, as I read in the Bible, help me to hear from you. Jesus, help me to know what you want me to do. And Jesus, help me to have the courage and the faith to do it. Jesus, I put my hope in you. Amen. So we pray that way, and then we start reading. Now, in case you haven't read anything else in John, I'm going to give you just three things to remember as we're reading, okay? So here's thing number one. This just kind of clues you in on what we're going to read about. Thing number one is Jesus lived 2,000 years ago when he's here on earth in a country known as Israel. He is a Jewish nation. God had spoken to the Jewish people, sent Jesus to a Jewish family, and on Sabbath days, Jesus was in a synagogue, okay? Now, here's the first thing you got to remember about 2,000 years ago. One is, in that culture, when somebody had a physical handicap of any kind, they thought it was a curse from God, okay? So if somebody was missing a leg or was blind or had any sort of problem with their body, they felt like, well, either this guy must have sinned, must have done something wrong, and God cursed him, or this guy's parents must have done something wrong, so they were given a baby that had some sort of ailment. Okay, now, Jesus is going to have a different view than that, and we'll see it. But you got to understand, that's what the average person thought back then. That's one thing to remember for context. Second thing to remember is there's going to be a group of folks called the Pharisees. When you ever see that word Pharisee, you just, the real short version is, these are guys who thought, if I follow all the rules, then God will love me, God will bless me, and if you're not following the rules, you're a terrible person, and I'm going to judge you, okay? It's easy to beat up on them and think they're the bad guy. It's also easy to become a person like that and think, I'm going to follow the rules, and God will love me if I do the right things, and then, oh, that person's terrible because they're not doing what I'm doing. Okay, so that's who they are. And then the final thing is synagogue. Back then, it was kind of like a church, but it's a little different. Back then, people would grow up in a village, get old in a village, die in a village. Okay, you didn't move around. And the village didn't have a whole bunch of different churches like Independence does. The village had one synagogue. And so if you got kicked out of that synagogue, then you got rejected by the whole village. So it'd be like if you stepped on Bob's toe this morning, and Bob said, you're kicked out of Maywood. He stepped on my toe. It'd be like then if you went to Quick Trip and they're like, hey, I heard you got kicked out of Maywood. Like, you can't buy gas here. And then if you call your friend, I'm like, hey, do you want to come over to my house? I can't come over to your house because I don't have any gas. They'd say, oh, you got kicked out of Maywood. Like, I'm not hanging out with you anymore. Like, that's what it would be like. It was just like you're kicked out of all of the society. So getting kicked out of the synagogue wasn't just like, I got to find a new place to go on the Sabbath. It was, nobody wants to come over to my house. Nobody will buy or sell in like a legitimate way with me. Like your whole life gets torn up, okay? Hopefully that's not too much to remember. We're going to read this. We'll take some stops along the way to kind of catch up. But as we read, I've got a particular lesson I'm going to share today. It's Jake Taylor's message. It may not be Jesus' message for you. 2 Timothy gives a promise that all Scripture can teach us. So as we read John 9, Jesus might have a message for you. And it's okay for you to take out a pad of paper and write down, like, Jesus told me this. Even if that means you stop listening to me for a little bit. Like, that's okay. Okay, I'll give you an excuse. You can do that, okay? So be looking for what is Jesus saying to me, because there's a lot of good stuff, okay? So starting in chapter 9, verse 1, as Jesus went along, he saw a man blind from birth. His disciples asked him, Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? Neither this man nor his parents sinned, said Jesus, but this happened so that the works of God might be displayed in him. As long as it is day, we must do the works of him who sent me. Night is coming when no one can work. While I am in the world, I am the light of the world. After saying this, Jesus spit on the ground, made some mud with the saliva, and put it on the man's eyes. Go, he told him, wash in the pool of Siloam, which means sent. So the man went and washed and came home seeing. His neighbors and those who had formerly seen him begging asked, isn't this the same man who used to sit and beg? Some claimed that he was. Others said, no, he only looks like him. But he himself insisted, I am the man. How then were your eyes opened? They asked. He replied, the man they call Jesus made some mud and put it on my eyes. He told me to go to Siloam and wash. So I went and washed, and then I could see. Where is this man? They asked him. I don't know, he said. Okay, so pit stop number one. Jesus is walking with his disciples. Disciples don't even care about the blind guy. In fact, he's just trivia to them. Like, hey, Jesus knows everything. Jesus, a little trivia moment. Like, why is this guy blind? Is it because he's a mess or because his parents are a mess? It's like, whoa, okay, so disciples are kind of a mess. But Jesus says, no, this guy isn't cursed. God made this guy with a purpose. That even his blindness that you guys think of as a curse is a way that God is going to show himself in a special way through that person. But another thing to point out from here, the guy doesn't even know what Jesus looks like. Like, they're like, who healed you? Well, it's somebody named Jesus. I haven't seen him because I was blind. He put a bunch of mud on my face, and then I went and washed it off, and I don't know where he is, okay? Remember I talked to you about the Pharisees or these kind of jerky, judgmental guys? And if you get kicked out of the synagogue, you can't buy gas at Quick Trip, okay? So that's our next section here. So it says, they brought to the Pharisees the man who had been blind. Now on the day on which Jesus had made the mud and opened the man's eyes was a Sabbath. Therefore the Pharisees also asked him how he'd received his sight. He put mud on my eyes, the man replied, and I washed, and now I can see. Some of the Pharisees said, this man is not from God, for he does not keep the Sabbath. But others asked, how can a sinner perform such signs? So they were divided. Then they turned again to the blind man. What have you to say about him? It was your eyes he opened. The man replied, he is a prophet. They still did not believe that he had been blind and had received his sight until they sent for the man's parents. Is this your son? They asked. Is this the one you say was born blind? How is it that now he can see? We know he is our son, the parents answered, and we know that he was born blind. But how he can see now, or who opened his eyes, we don't know. Ask him. He is of age, and he will speak for himself. His parents said this because they were afraid of the Jewish leaders, who had already decided that anyone who acknowledges that Jesus was the Messiah would be put out of the synagogue. This is why his parents said, he is of age, ask him. A second time they summoned the man who had been blind. Give glory to God by telling the truth, they said. We know this man is a sinner. He replied, whether he is a sinner or not, I don't know. One thing I do know, I was blind, but now I see. Then they asked him, what did he do to you? How did he open your eyes? He answered, I've told you already, and you did not listen. Why do you want to hear it again? Do you want to become his disciples too? Yeah. Then they hurled insults at him. You are this fellow's disciple. We are disciples of Moses. We know that God spoke to Moses, but as for this fellow, we don't even know where he comes from. The man answered, now that is remarkable. You don't know where he comes from, yet he opened my eyes. We know that God does not listen to sinners. He listens to the godly person who does his will. Nobody has ever heard of opening of the eyes of a man born blind. If this man were not from God, he could do nothing. To this they replied, you were steeped in sin at birth. How dare you lecture us? And they threw him out. So, lots going on right there. One thing to point out, the parents of this blind man, they start to separate themselves from him because they can see that the hammer is about to fall and they want to get away before that happens. And how, I mean, that's a sad thing. You would think parents of a kid that was born blind, they would be overjoyed and so excited that finally he can see. But it just shows how scary it is to get kicked out of the synagogue there. Like how devastating that is, that parents would kind of turn on their own kid and say, he can talk for himself. I don't want to get in trouble with him. So let's let him talk. So it's all that more notable when the blind man stands up and he doesn't have all the answers. They're like, Jesus is a sinner. And he's like, I don't know. But what I do know is what Jesus did for me. So he tells them about being set free. Okay, and then they kick him out. They kick him out of the synagogue. They kick him to the curb. So here's our end of the chapter. Jesus heard that they had thrown him out. And when he found him, Jesus said, do you believe in the Son of Man? Who is he, sir? The man asked. Tell me so that I may believe in him. Jesus said, you have now seen him. In fact, he is the one speaking with you. Then the man said, Lord, I believe. And he worshiped him. Jesus said, for judgment I have come into this world, so that the blind will see, and those who see will become blind. Some of the Pharisees who were with him heard him say this and asked, what, are we blind too? Jesus said, if you were blind, you would not be guilty of sin. But now that you claim you can see, your guilt remains. So there's a lot going on in that chapter. And if you are scribbling notes right now because you're thinking, oh, God already told me something, Jake. Like, I don't need to listen to you anymore. Like, that's okay because there's a lot of good stuff here. You could take away this idea that, you know, I've always not liked something about my body or about my about who I am. But maybe God wants to shine through me in a special way because of that. Maybe that's your lesson. Or it could be a lesson of, I don't want to be judgmental like the Pharisees. I don't want to have a one-button issue like the Sabbath and then miss the miracles that God's doing around me. I don't want to be so hateful that I miss what God's doing. Maybe you want to be like the blind man who said, God doesn't work through unrighteous, sinful people. God works through the person who listens to him and obeys his will. You know, maybe if you're thinking, I want to be powerful for Jesus, I need to start listening and obeying. There's lots of good lessons here. There's more than that. I want to take you through the lesson I feel like God laid on my heart last week, and it's going to take some context, though. So if you'll stick with me through a couple stories from my youth, then you'll be understand kind of where I was coming from. So when I was in around fourth grade or so, I had this, my best friend in those years growing up was this kid named Brian that lived up the street from my parents or from me. And we would go into the woods almost every day in the summer. We'd climb trees together. We jumped off of a roof together. We'd ride bikes together. We'd go catch salamanders and stuff. I mean, we were boys. We'd spend the night at each other's house a bunch and stuff. So Daniel had an older brother named, or Brian had an older brother named Daniel. And he was just a year older than us, but he's quite a bit bigger than us. And he would sometimes do stuff we were doing, and that was fine. But when Daniel would have his friend Travis over, and it was bad news for me and Brian. So when Daniel and Travis were both there, suddenly it became like, let's beat up on Brian and Jake. So that's what they would do. And that's what happened. Okay, like there's no like, I learned karate or anything. There's none of that at the end of the story. Like, so one time though, I'm around fourth grade, I remember it vividly. I'm in Brian and Daniel's bedroom because they shared a room. And Travis is over there, so that's not good. Brian's out of the room, and Daniel is distracted on the computer. They had this old, like, Windows 95 computer, and Daniel's distracted on that, but Travis has got me on the floor, like, over the top of me, like, pummeling me type of situation, and I'm on the floor taking it, you know? And Brian walks into the doorway and kind of, like, stunned, like, uh-oh, like, this is what's happening. And there's this pause where everyone pauses for a minute and kind of all eyes are on Daniel. Like, is Daniel going to jump up and, like, start beating up on Brian or not? But Daniel stays at the computer. And Travis makes some joke at my expense. I can't remember what Travis said. But Travis is laughing at me. And I still remember I'm looking at Brian while that happens. And Brian starts to laugh at me, like kind of that like nervous laugh of like, I'm just trying to not get beat up right now. So I'm going to laugh at what this bully said. And I can just remember like my little tiny fourth grade heart just being like so angry at Brian of like, you're betraying me. Like, you know, like I expect Brian to go push Travis and then both of us get beat up. You know, like that's what I was expecting. Like, that's what he should do. He's my friend, you know. But instead, he laughed at me, and he didn't get beat up. And, man, from that point on, like, I cut hanging out with Brian. But, man, I held on to that. Like, I didn't like that about Brian. And God planted in my heart this idea of loyalty. It's really, really important to me. But here's the thing about when God puts stuff deep inside of us, Satan can still play all that stuff to you. And he can make horrible things out of that, okay? So if we fast forward a couple years later, Brian and I are in middle school now. We're in sixth grade at George Off Baker there in Blue Springs. And I remember the exact lunchroom. I remember sitting this way, and Brian's catty corner to me down there. And there's a bunch of boys at lunch. And I was not a cool kid. Brian's not a cool kid. None of the kids around us are cool either. But we're all hanging out and talking, and somebody makes a joke at Brian's expense, and everyone at the table is laughing at Brian. And I was always I wasn't cool or popular, but I was always pretty quick-witted. And so Brian, as he's getting laughed at, looks at me with this like pleading look in his eyes. And I'm ashamed to say, like, to admit all this evil that is inside of me. So he looks at me that way, and right away I think about, man, 2 years ago, like, that doorway, and, like, I'm holding on to that grudge. And the thought that runs through my evil little head is, like, the tables have turned, man. Like, you know, like, that's the thought. There's just this evilness in me. And here's the thing. Like, God made me this person that loyalty is important. But then Satan twists that bad experience. That loyalty thing becomes a grudge. And then a couple years later, Satan's all set up to just play that revenge tune with me. And so I sat at that table. I looked at that pitiful look from my friend Brian, and I thought, like, tough luck, man. And everyone's laughing at him. And honestly, I can't remember if I made a joke at his expense or just laughed, but I know I did not help. I know I, like, reveled in the, like, ha, like, moment to him. And, like, you see that junk in yourself. And Eric here in the third row, he has this phrase, if they knew better, they'd do better. But if you know yourself, and we can all look at these grimy moments in our life where we did know better, and we just didn't do better. Like, I knew I shouldn't treat my friend that way, and I just did it. We look at that grimy junk in our life, and for me, I just think, like, man, I'm a terrible person, you know? And that's a true statement. But the other day when I was worshiping and praying with those friends, what Jesus took me back to was John chapter 9, real, real vividly, like, boom. And this moment when a few years later, after that scene with Brian, I was reading in John chapter 9, and verse 30, I read this whole story, but verse 35 really jumped off the page to me. Because here's what verse 35 says. Jesus heard that they had thrown him out, and when he found him, he said, "Do you believe in the Son of Man?" So here's the thing I knew about Jesus when I was reading that, probably in high school, was if you read through the Gospels, Jesus normally shows up to people one time. Normally shows up to some town, helps people speak, whatever happens, and then he's on to the next thing. And a lot of times people are like, stay, stay, stay. And he's like, nope, God's called me to go to other places. I got other places to go. When I read this, though, I saw that blind man, he stuck his neck out about as far as you can for Jesus. He just knew a little bit about Jesus, and he stood on it. And he got kicked to the curb because he stood on it. And to know that Jesus, who normally is like onward, going forward, so Jesus said he heard this guy stuck his neck out for him and got persecuted for it. And Jesus went looking for him. Jesus didn't ignore what the guy had done. Jesus showed a lot of loyalty to this guy. Of like, you stuck your neck out for me before you even really had seen me. And so Jesus goes and he explains the details about him. He lets that guy become a full disciple of Jesus. And for me, I can remember being in high school, and this is one of those moments, and maybe you have these moments with your wife or with someone else where you can picture a moment of like, I started to fall in love at that moment. And I can remember this is one of those moments where I took a big step forward being in love with Jesus because I saw the thing that I wanted the most, this loyal friend, was there in Jesus, even if it wasn't there in me. If you spend time really getting to know Jesus, you're reading about him, you're interacting with him, you're living your life with him, then you fall in love with him. Because the deepest things that are in you, maybe you don't have a hang up on loyalty like I do, but all of us have these deep things in us that God put in us. And Satan wants to twist them. And if you look at your most shameful moments, that probably puts a spotlight on what are the deepest things inside of you. Because Satan probably used whatever's deep inside of you to make a monster out of you. But God can take those same things and say, hey, what that cry of your heart really wants is in me. And I'm the complete package of what you want to be and what you want to have. So when I was worshiping the other day, the thing that stuck out to me wasn't even just the loyalty of Jesus. It was this idea of I've been crazy busy these last week and a half or so. And Jesus was putting on me really heavy. You can't lose sight of loving me. There's a lot of things in life. We all have to make a lot of decisions of do I do this or this or this, and I have so many responsibilities. Almost every single person I talk to is busy. Almost every single person I talk to says my plate is so full. If you get this one thing right, if you say I'm actively in love with Jesus, then Jesus will show you everything else and it'll all work out. But I don't care if you're saving kids in the Sudan. Like, if you're real busy doing whatever good stuff and you let loving Jesus fall by the wayside, then it's not going to go well. So the thing that Jesus really laid on my heart is Jake. Like, you used to do this sort of stuff, like get together with friends and pray and worship. You used to do that sort of stuff back when you were falling in love with me. And you don't do it as much anymore. And you don't even think about me as much as you used to back then. And it was a wake-up call to me. And so honestly, like, nothing's gotten less busy in my life since I heard that on Sunday. But like this morning, I was riding the bike that you guys super graciously gave me, which I'm super thankful for. But yeah, so I was riding that bike and it was raining and stuff, which actually was, I thought, a lot of fun because I'm a weird person. I like to ride the bike in the rain. But I just had a conversation with God about, of all things, about transportation in my life. Jesus has always provided for me really well. All, you know, different bikes or cars or things that I've had. And I just went through and said, like, Jesus, thank you for how you provided for me here and here and here and here. And I just had a loving talk with Jesus. So that was my takeaway from John 9. Like, you may have a different takeaway from John 9. I do want to reinforce, though, that we need Jesus. That if you spend time with Jesus, you will love him. And if you love Jesus, everything else in your life is going to flow from that, and it will work out. But Satan's trick is to get you to think, like, well, I got to do all this other stuff first. And, well, Brian was so mean to me, or whatever, you know, like, well, and just, like, get into this other thought process. And pretty quick, he'll have you doing terrible stuff that you're ashamed of. So I'm going to pray a blessing over you guys. You guys, if you don't have a Bible, we can get you a Bible. If you don't have a way to spend time with God, if you don't know how to do that, come and talk to me or talk to somebody around you. My challenge for you this week is spend some time falling in love with Jesus. And my prayer, my blessing on you guys is going to be that Jesus would speak into that deep part of your heart. I don't know if it's loyalty or something else that you really desire, but that Jesus would speak to you on that. So you have a chance to open up to this blessing as I pray it. Jesus, you said that you are the light of the world, and we believe that. We are dark and grimy. We've all done terrible things, but we come to you for mercy. And Jesus, I pray this blessing on every person here today, that all week long, when they spend time with you, I pray you'd speak to their hearts, that you would show them how lovable you are. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.